Hello and welcome, everybody. Welcome to Go Mode, a Link to the Past podcast. My name is Herfy Durfy, and I'm talking to you from the most powerful PC the universe has ever seen, which is a total lie, but still, I'm very proud of my new PC. And I'm here with my wonderful co-hosts. Please, would you introduce yourselves?
Hey, everybody. I'm Timp, and I'm totally cool with the fact that Herf kind of said the podcast name wrong. I have no problems with that.
Oh, I did, yeah. See, I mean, you know, you take a week off and you forget everything that's important.
Like I said, no problem.
Thank you.
And I'm Dante, and I have no idea what I'm doing.
This should be make for a pretty good listen, right?
I mean, it's definitely this an interesting start, right? It's different.
This is the most casual start I think we've had in quite some time, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I think it's going to set a nice precedent for the rest of the episode. I've had an extremely stressful day, so I'm definitely down to have a nice casual recording session. So
I forgot to
just work stuff, nothing exciting.
I forgot to say that we're a Link to the Past randomizer podcast, right? That's what was wrong.
There she is.
There it goes. Yep. Yeah, I thought you something felt kind of weird about saying it, but you know, close enough.
I mean, we do talk about regular vanilla stuff occasionally, you know, world records.
It works out for me.
Whatnot, what have you.
I feel like A Link to the Past encompasses rando as well. It's like the umbrella term.
No question about it. Absolutely. So you are, I think you mentioned coming to us with this brand new computer. So anyone who listened to the last episode might remember we had to go Herfless. Much to our chagrin, we looked at all other options and there just wasn't really a way to get them in there. But now you've got this sick rig, a rig that is sick, if you will. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about what you're rolling with now.
Well, I got a new, the first time in my life, I think even, no, that's not true, but it's been a very long time that I've had an AMD CPU instead of an Intel one. So I've got some strange, I've been out of the loop for so long. I looked at the CPUs and I saw a bunch of numbers and I was like, what does any of this mean? What's better than the other one? But turns out I made a pretty decent decision. So I'm rocking a 5800X3D 8-core Ryzen right now. I got 32 gigs of RAM because more RAM can never hurt. And I'm rocking a 3070 Ti, which is definitely not top of the line. So the AMD thing is still an AM4 chipset instead of the new AM5 one, but the AM5 ones are like unpayable. And the graphics card, kind of the same deal. I kind of try to go for, you know, good bang for the buck kind of thing instead of just dishing out for like a 4090 or something that costs like $2,000 or whatever they are these days. And we're doing well. I'm kind of trying to get back into PC gaming. It's very strange to not have to play all new games on my PlayStation 5 anymore. So that's definitely a new thing because, you know, for the past like 3 or 4 years, my PC was like 8 years old. And for the past 3 or so years, I just more or less ignored every new game that came out. And I was like, yeah, my PC can't run that anyway. So unless it's coming out on PS5, I can't play it. And now I'm like, ooh, I got a lot to catch up on.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think my PC I mentioned last time is about the same age as yours, but still going, except for the hard drive, which did fail about a year ago. I'm thinking I want to use your experience as sort of a cautionary tale and start like piecemeal upgrading elements, starting with the graphics card, because I'm the same way. I don't play a lot of new games, but I do play a lot of Hitman, World of Assassination, and that game can get really beefy. I'm playing on the absolute lowest settings, and even then it still chugs sometimes. So it's getting to be pretty untenable, honestly.
Yeah. And I mean, I would have just, you know, replaced the broken part. It turned out it was like either a capacitor on the motherboard or something shorted out on the motherboard. So I would have had to replace the motherboard. But since it's so old, they don't even make them anymore. And, you know, upgrading piecemeal wasn't an option because if I wanted to upgrade the CPU, I'd have to get a new motherboard, which means I'd have to get new RAM. And then if I have a new CPU, I don't want my 8-year-old graphics card either. So I would have had to upgrade everything either way, pretty much. It was just too far gone to start upgrading piece by piece.
Yeah, even if you could have saved some elements, it sounds like it was all old enough that it was just made sense to replace all of it.
I'm going to maybe try to sell some of them used, but, you know, who wants to buy this old stuff? So if I get like $200 for all of it, I'll be lucky. And you have to consider, as much as it pains me personally to say it, it's a computer that has been in a smoker household for 8 years. So who's going to buy that stuff, right? So
yeah,
it's I'm trying, but I'll if I even get to sell it, it's probably not going to be for very much.
Yeah, if you make anything, that's like more than you expected. Yeah, exactly. That's a good place to be, honestly. Cool. All right. Well, I guess let's go ahead and get into it. We are actually going to start with a little bit of a treat. So last time when it was just Dante and I, we were very non-committal about talking about the end of the Glitched Mentor tournament. One reason is because it was still technically going. We had to decide the winner of the secondary bracket, so we wanted to wait for that. And also, we weren't sure if we were going to be able to bring you our interview with the champion of the main bracket in that episode or the next one. So we were kind of being vague because we didn't know it was going to be there. Well, guess what? It is now time for our interview with the champion of the Glitched Mentor tournament that has just recently concluded. So let's go ahead and get to that right now. Folks, we are officially at the end of the second Go Mode Podcast Glitched Mentor Tournament. On behalf of the admins, Malmo, the rest of the crew, myself, and the hosts, I just want to say a huge thank you to, of course, the racers, but especially the mentors for providing their expertise and allowing this tournament to even happen. So I want to look at the second bracket right here, the secondary bracket, which we're calling the fake light world bracket, and acknowledge our podium there. So the bronze medal winner was Gilgamesh there, beating Simple Clips in the bronze match. In second place, we had Plasma Snake, and first place, PH112358. So huge congratulations to all three of them, but especially our winner, Phi, I guess could be another way to say that. And then in our top bracket, in the bronze position, we had Rob J. Beasley beating Muffins in the bronze match. In second place, my league teammate, Dr. Earworm. Huge shout outs to them. And our champion, who we have with us here today. Let's please give it up for Gamma Chew. Congratulations, Gamma Chew, and welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you very much. I'm very glad to be here. Very happy to be here.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us. So, Gamma, looking at 2022, I don't think it would be unfair to say that that was the year of Gamma Chew. And I'm going to explain my reasoning here, or at least the back half of 2022. So you've got this win, right? Which, 2023, but kind of got started in 2022 with the Glitch Mentor Tournament. Right, we had the 2022 Casual Boots Tournament, which you won. The AD Keys Tournament, which you won. You were second place in the online ALTTPR Spoiler Log Tournament for Speed Gaming Live. And you just recently got second place in the Espeño Ablante tournament as well. Just absolutely insane performances across all of these tournaments. What's your secret? How are you doing this?
You know what? Before you even brought some of those up, I completely forgotten about the AD Keys and the spoilers that just finished. I'm like, oh, I was just thinking of the recent one that just finished the Hispanic. But yeah, I mean,
and here I was worried I was going to forget one and you forgot
some of them. I don't know. I'm really happy to even get as far as I do in any tournaments, really. Normally, I just join in. You know, I'm just hoping to have a good time, right? Just, you know, have fun with it. See how far I get. Test my skills versus other top runners out there. That's always enjoyable for me. Now, when I start to get, you know, deeper and deeper into a tournament, I'm like, damn, how long, you know, how far is this going to keep going? Like, going up against names, you know, are very noticeable. Like, okay, this is where I get out of the tournament. And no, I keep going. Like, okay, I'm more than happy to keep going, continue on. And but just, I don't know, I guess a lot of years of racing, a lot of, experience just playing the game overall. Always enjoyed it. I've always enjoyed it. It's always been a good time with me playing just rando seed after seed.
Yeah. What is your normal kind of routine look like these days? Like in a week, how many seeds would you say that you play?
Oh, these days I feel like I don't play as much as I did before. Like last year, I did put in quite a bit, like frequently would do a lot of ladder runs, frequent pickup races that people would ping. But work has been a little bit more rough on me schedule-wise, so I haven't really had too much free time. Nowadays, when I do play, usually it's maybe a tournament race or on the occasion a pickup race on the weekends. The middle of the week, not too much, because I just feel a little bit too burnt off from work. Mm. I just don't really want to do anything other than, you know, sometimes I do watch people running. But yeah, just playing, it's, I'm good.
Sure.
Yeah. But these recent tournaments I just played, I just felt a little burnt out. So just kind of taking it easy for now.
Sure. Yeah, that's it's something we all got to look out for. It's something that we on the show have been talking about, I feel like, more over the past few months than before. It's just kind of come up a lot of, you know, our own as hosts kind of burnout, but also things we're noticing around the community and how there's been just, especially at the end of last year, so many things going on. It was easy to feel that way with how much activity there was in the community. So can definitely right. respect that for sure. How did you get started with ALTTPR?
So I remember watching some random runs on Twitch, you know, when I just barely started Twitch, what, 3 years ago, three and a half? No, I want to say like 4 years. I ended up watching a random, what is it, Twitch giving me, you know, suggestions you might, you know, enjoy.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And one of them was A Link to the Past. Like, okay, I play that game. You know, I just thought it was a normal game. I never heard of randomizer. I was never familiar with any random modes out there for any game. And I don't remember what it was. I think it was just some random weekly or I don't know if it was a weekly or tournament match. I honestly don't remember. But I was watching. I'm like, oh my gosh, this looks very interesting. You know, I've always enjoyed the game when I was little. I never beat it the first time I played it, the original game. And I came back to it a few years later, beat it, enjoyed it. And now that I see that, you know, there's a random version for it, it's like playing a brand new game every time. You don't know where the items are going to be, right? You just kind of have to figure out, you know, the logic behind it, how the seed expects you to beat it. And I don't know. For me, it's like a nice little puzzle, and I really enjoy it. It's really fun.
Yeah. So what you just said there at the end kind of sort of changed the tenor of maybe the question that I was kind of cooking up there. So what I heard you say was, it sounds like your stance is kind of similar to Dante, which he says all the time, you know, he loved A Link to the Past growing up, and that's kind of what got him into rando. And that was kind of what I heard you say just now as well. Whereas for me, it's kind of like, yeah, I did like the game growing up. Not going to, you know, I'll admit I loved it. I'm not going to deny that. But what I really love about rando is the puzzle aspect of it and the way that it makes you start thinking about probability and statistics and making risks and gambles and things like that. So with that in mind, do you feel like what you really enjoy is the like playing A Link to the Past in a new way every time? Or is it the, you know, what I was talking about before, the statistics, the puzzle, the randomized items and mapping out the best way to get to them?
Yeah, I want to say a little bit both. So getting into it. Before I even started, you know, I'm a very competitive person in nature. So before I even started doing any runs, I just did a few offline practice just to kind of see where I could get, you know, trying to see if I could be competitive versus other people. But, you know, as I'm playing the seed, I'm trying to keep tabs on, you know, what the game would expect you to do. Normally I break logic, but once I kind of figure out what the sequence was to get to, you know, progression, you know, sometimes I kind of think about it, oh, that was kind of a very disgusting sequence. You know, the game expects you to get that, but, you know, sequence breaking just, you know, makes life so much easier.
Oh, yeah.
The puzzle aspect is, it's always fun. I enjoy it. For me, it doesn't get boring. So, yeah.
What kind of modes are your favorite these days?
I want to say 80 keys. 80 keys, definitely. And before, I was not the biggest fan of cross keys, but I've been slowly enjoying it more and more, which is funny because when I started, I didn't touch cross keys or key sanity for like a year and a half, maybe two. I was just not really digging the idea of potentially back and forth into dungeons, you know, grabbing keys, you know, grabbing items, just most the thought of double dipping is like never really sit well with me, but
relatable Gamma, extremely relatable.
So now it's like, you know, I really enjoy it. I love it. The, again, logic, thinking about the logic that the game would expect you to beat it. You know, there's a keys, there's five keys to par, like, you know, scattered around. There's one key disgustingly placed in like a TR and, you know, you end up beating the dungeon, you know, going the Bolock side a couple of times to avoid having to do the logic, the nasty logical chain the game would expect you to, you know, beat that dungeon. But yeah, it's just kind of, I like thinking about that. Sometimes the seed is nice, sometimes it's very gross, as I'm sure we've all kind of had those kind of seeds, right? Getting nice friendly seeds or just disgusting ones. But no, I really do enjoy it. 80 keys yeah. and cross keys.
Okay. So since we're talking about game modes, let's pivot over to talking about glitched modes here. I'm curious what made you decide to enter the tournament, because to be completely honest, when I saw that you had submitted to race, I guess just because I know that you're such a strong runner, I assumed that maybe you already knew all the glitches and were into glitched modes already, but I guess that wasn't the case. So tell us about kind of how you got into all this.
Okay. I told Philly, if this was asked to me, I'm going to throw you under the bus. You know, I'm just blasting around, of course, but I had no plans to join the glitch modes. I knew nothing of glitches before I joined the glitch tournament. And Philly asked me one time when I was streaming, hey, Gamma, why don't you go ahead and sign up for the glitch tournament? And I'm like, okay, you know what? I will, Philly. I will if you sign up. And she apparently had signed up before I even asked her that. You know, and then she told me, well, I already did. You know, I've been signed up. I'm like, really? You're lying. You're trolling me. No, and she did, in fact, signed up. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, my gosh, I had no plans because I was already in two tournaments, in the Hispanic tournament. And what else was there? There was another tournament I was in, and I'm just completely blanking out
the
right now.
Spoiler log?
Yes. Live? The co-op one.
It's another
that one. That one, I completely forgot. Yeah, those two. And I didn't plan on doing any more. And yeah, she said she signed up. I'm like, okay. I saw that's only like one match a week, just some offline practice. I'm like, okay, that won't take up too much time. And yeah, I went ahead and signed up for it. And you know, no regrets. No.
Here you are. Yeah.
Yeah. No. So,
yeah. And you had fun.
Yeah. I had a lot of fun. I even told Mammal at one point too, like, you know, now when I'm playing normal modes, I have this glitch mindset. Like, you know, I just kind of want to do all these glitches when I'm playing normal modes and open mode. It's kind of hard to kind of think out of that and just have that mindset. But I really enjoyed it. No regrets joining on the mentor tournament.
Well, that's awesome. That's good to hear. Do you feel like you are now a member of the glitched community? Because that's really kind of the whole purpose of the tournament.
Yeah. I mean, I learned all the glitches. I feel a little pretty consistent with them, pretty comfortable. Yeah, I mean, if people are learning to, you know, decide to jump on board with the glitch modes and looking to reach out, you know, I'm more than happy to give a lending hand. Like, you know, this is how I do it. Maybe you might do it better if you do it this way. I see pickup race dailies now that happen every now and then. If I don't make them, I have been running them offline async, something I never considered doing, you know, running HMG. Mm-hmm. So glitch modes that are pinged, I'm more than happy to join them if I could. But yeah, I feel like I like to say yes, though. I enjoy any glitch modes. Probably not going to touch the no logic stuff for a bit. That seems like way out of my comfort zone right now. But, you know, I'll stick with this baby steps, right? Went from Overworld to HMG, so.
Yeah, that was literally going to be my next question. I was going to ask which glitched mode you have enjoyed the most so far and if you were thinking of getting into no logic. But I know the answer to that one. But which glitched mode is your favorite, would you say now?
No, I'm good with HMG. HMG, I didn't think I was going to be a big fan of that, but I have come to really enjoy it. Overworld just seems a bit too, a little bit too simple-ish, like bland, not enough spice to it, I should say. Mm-hmm. And now with HMG, it feels a bit more spicier, especially how different it is with how you can, you know, a little logic change, how Meyer can logically lock Hera and Swamp. So it's a nice little puzzle to it, added puzzle, like, you know, keep tabs on the logic right there, key logic. Mm-hmm. So I really enjoy it. It's fun. HMG is my preferred glitch mode right now.
Nice. Is there anyone you'd like to thank?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I did tell him I would give him a shout out. Thank you for reminding me. So my mentors in the mentor tournament was Schulzer, Homemade Beer, Nobly. And I'm missing one more, Red Kitsune. There you go. Oh my gosh, I would have felt so bad if I forgot any of them. Yeah, for two of them, Red Kitsune and Nobly, I had them for 2 weeks and the others for once. And big shout outs to them for giving me a huge helping hand on how to, you know, do all these glitches. Yeah, I do recall some of the races I had throughout the, you know, mentor week. I didn't know how to do some of the glitches at all. And they were very, you know, good at telling me right there on the spot, okay, Gemma, this is how you do this, you know, particular glitch. Very well done. I really appreciate all of them. And not just them too, also all the other mentors that took the time to help out all the other mentees that joined in the tournament. But yeah, big shout out to them all and those that did help me out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, really appreciate that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm glad you remembered everybody's name and I'm glad someone else can share in the anxiety that comes up when you're recording one of these and you're like, so many people help with this. I have to remember everybody's name. And it's like, you forget one and it's like, oh, they're going to think I hate them now.
But I just had that name. You know, I had it before the start of this interview and then I just blanked out like, oh, that's not a good sign. You know?
Yeah. It happens to the best of us. Well, Gamma, again, congratulations. Is there anything else you'd like to say? We're going to kind of give you the soapbox to stand up on if you have anything you'd like to finish this out with here.
Oh, no, just, you know, thank you guys, all of you, for putting up a good, successful mentor tournament right here. I know you guys also have the Go Mode Podcast Mentor Tournament for new runners out there looking to start jumping in on board on the Rando community. It's really great that you guys are able to do that, you know, encourage new runners out there to come on board. It really is fun. And I hope to see more people jump on board on the rando scene. It's very fun. And thank you all guys again. I really appreciate it. Hope to, hope for this to continue on year after year.
Absolutely. Thank you. And I think that's a great note to leave out on. So thanks for the quick plug. We do have the normal mentor tournament. I say normal, you know, non-glitched, I guess you could say, mentor tournament coming up. Stay tuned for details on that. And Gemma, again, thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for having me again. I really appreciate it.
And there you have it, folks. I hope you enjoyed, again, another huge GGs to Gamachu, who was a ton of fun to talk to. And, you know, like I said in the interview, just like on top right now, we listed out some of the tournaments that he's won in the past year or so. And I'm pretty sure we missed one, if not two, when we did that. So just absolutely on his grind, you know?
Yeah, definitely. A name I see a lot in the, you know, top five tournament finishers all over the place, pretty much.
Repeatedly. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yep. Cool. All right. Well, to get on to the next thing, just a few days ago, we had our first word on SGL 2023. It's, of course, Speed Gaming Live 2023. It's the big in-person event where ALTT PR community members get together and a bunch of other games too. But of course, you know, that's what we care about, right? Exactly. So Dante, tell us what we know so far. I know this was kind of a threadbare announcement, but what do we know about SGL 2023?
What do we know indeed? We know nothing. No, I'm kidding. We know that the dates are a little different this year on your calendar. Instead of October around Halloween, they're going to be a little later than that. November 9th through the 12th. And that is personally something I like to see. Personally, I had to rush home to make sure I didn't miss Halloween on Monday with my kiddo. And this time it's like, all right, I can handle all that. And then, you know, this is like a side thing, but like I missed a friend of mine's kid's fifth birthday party while I was at the event. And apparently she was very upset that Uncle Dainty was not there. No. And like the next, like that night when we all went trick or treating, she was like, why weren't you at my party? And I was like, oh my God, I feel terrible. I'm like, I'm so tired and like run down. And I'm like, oh no, I feel terrible. So I kind of explained it to her and I told her I was sorry. But anyway, now I get to handle
the
that.
The scorn of a 5-year-old.
Yeah, getting, I don't know what to do with that. 5-year-old, geez, what a way to come
home. Yeah, dude. I don't know. Yeah. It's so easy to guilt trip me, but it's going to be at the same place. So we're going to be in Herndon, Virginia again. It's going to be at the Hilton Washington Dulles. Great venue. I love that place. You know, it's granted.
That's cool.
It's treated super, as well so far, with the exception of that one outlet that exploded a bunch of SNESs last year. But I mean, and you know,
accidents are going to happen. I mean, that could happen just as easily, probably.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. It's, so, you know, that's, I mean, it was the hotel's fault, obviously, but whatever. It happens.
Yeah.
we're not pointing fingers or anything, but it was absolutely their fault.
I mean, it was. We had no clue.
Yeah. I hear you. No, I love this new date too. And it's for the reason you said, Dante, you know, getting back for Halloween, but also, so last year when I went, my wife was like, okay, so I'm going to be home alone, you know, with Nella for 3 or 4 days. What am I going to do? I guess we'll maybe try to plan a trip. So they did. They got with my in-laws and planned a trip to go out into the mountains in North Carolina. And they had such a good time that they decided to go again. And so she was like resentful that I was going to be away at Speed Gaming Live when they went to this thing that they made up because I went to Speed Gaming Live. But this is perfect, right? Because now I can go to that mountain trip, be with them. It's going to be a great time.
Now you could get in trouble for not being home when she's home. Like that's how it works. Perfect. Like you know how it works.
Exactly. Yeah. So it all worked out. I love this new time of the year that we're going to be meeting. I think it's way more convenient for me. I'm happy to hear that it's more convenient for you. I wonder if that's not the case kind of across the board.
Well,
but, this was literally just announced, so we haven't really had a chance to talk with a bunch of people about
as the only single and childless person here, I'm going to say I'm a little sad it's later because it's probably going to mess up the nice t-shirt weather that we've somehow always had at every SGL so far. It's going to be significantly colder, I believe.
But I bet the hangs around the fire pit at night will be better.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
People want to be around the fire.
It was still plenty cold at night for the fire, but it was nice and sometimes t-shirt weather throughout the day. But now it's I don't know how much colder it's really going to be like a week later. It's probably not going to make the world's difference, but I assume it's going to be colder since we're like well into November at this point.
Most definitely. It definitely will be colder. I hadn't thought about that. But like I said, I'm good. I'm good with it where it is. So that's the announcement. Obviously, as more information comes out, we will bring that to you. But, you know, if we can get all three of us there, which we're all, you know, working towards, probably try to do like another GMP live at the least, maybe something a little different. But there'll definitely be something GMP related at the next Speed Gaming Live. So we would love to see you out there if you're able to start making arrangements to join us. Mm-hmm. So on March 26th, actually on March 25th, Synac put a announcement in the main tournament Discord to say that he needed volunteers to participate in a group qualifier race that would not actually count towards qualifiers, just a test. But he was working on some different settings for Sahasrabot to get ready for the main tournament, wanted to do a live test of things. And so said on Sunday, March 26th at 2:00 p.m. Eastern, we're just going to run a group race. And the stars aligned. And somehow, even though I almost never am able to make time to play anymore, this was the perfect time for me to jump in. So I got a chance to be in this group race. And I just wanted to say it was really fun. It was a really good seed. Some might even call it a jet. It just, you know, a lot. There was a bunch of stuff. I think I had like blue mail and tempered sword in the first 30 minutes. So it was like super generous, you know, with safeties and firepower that it gave out. And I would say there was probably only a total of like 5 minutes of time where I was like, yeah, I absolutely did the wrong thing. I made a mistake there. I checked something out of the way when I should have just trusted my gut and gone somewhere else. You know, all in all, probably about 5 minutes total of time that I felt like I lost, you know, that was my fault. So the race is going, you know, the first person finishes Humbug at 1:16:09. And that's like, I felt about right. I was like, maybe one dungeon away from Gobo. And I was like, yeah, that's cool. Other people start to finish. Y'all, there were 46 people in this race from the first place to 33rd place. The difference was, so first place, like I said, was 1:16:09. 33rd place was 1:34:51. I came in 34th place at 1:39:10. So I was like, there were all these people coming in like 30 seconds, 20 seconds after each other. Then there was like a 5 minute gap or 4.5 minute gap. And then me, and then, you know, a few people behind me. So I finished.
What'd you do?
Exactly. That's my thing. It's like, I haven't gone back to watch anybody else. And I know that's what like a true gamer would do, is go and see how other people routed it. But I pretty much did. I never felt like I did anything weird. I kind of always went to where the most progression was. So all of this to say, I'm not saying like I got robbed or whatever. I just wanted to comment and noticed that and I've said this kind of, I've alluded to this before, but like, I'm like the community has passed me by. Like people are racing on a regular basis, you know, day in and day out, getting that daily practice. And even when I show up and feel like I've put together a pretty good run, it's like back half of the pack, you know, and this really proved it. And this is one of the reasons I really like group races, because I don't think I would be able to get an insight like that if it was just a one-on-one. If it was one-on-one and somebody creamed me by 15 minutes, I'd be like, wow, they're just really good. Or, oh, they just found some sort of route that, you know, I didn't realize or whatever. But to see so many people apparently take this, you know, alternate routes that got them there 10, 15, 20 minutes ahead of me makes me think that, like, I really need to do something a lot different. I think I need to watch a lot more than I'm watching to see if there are like new room strats or early game openings or something that I've just missed out on that are making me lose, you know, huge chunks of time. So I don't know. I had a good time. Like I said, I enjoyed playing yesterday. Like I said, I felt like I played pretty well. The only thing I really regretted was I was going to go to TR without an ice rod. I was like, I feel like it's going to be up there. But then I'd see people finish. So it was like, it would make sense that people would just try to do that. But then on my way up there, I did Super Bunny Cave and then I kind of panicked and I went and did Red Bomb. And I think maybe like one or two other things. And I was like, forget this. I'm just going to go to TR. And I did. And lo and behold, it was the fourth chest on Laser Bridge. So, you know, other things I did, like I went to Ice Palace without a Red Cane and the Red Cane was in there. So I was like, ooh, that should have. I can imagine a lot of people trying to hold off on Icebreaker, you know? Mm-hmm. I found the lamp in pod basement, like in that like two, you know, the U-shaped area or whatever, the lamp was in there. So that was another area where I was like, oh, maybe some people might put off pod. They're not comfortable with Dark Maze, but like that's not happening to anybody these days. You know, like everybody is up on that kind of stuff. You know, it's the norm, it's the standard. So those things that I thought were giving me a benefit, I don't think helped me at all. I think they're just the norm. And there are additional things that I need to figure out if I ever want to try to be even somewhat competitive at this game again. So
I will say this from a place of love. There's a thing in the community now that I feel like where the people who are like the names that are like constantly doing well, they're playing a lot. Their execution is being honed. Like they're worrying about frames and rooms rather than like a game breaking strat like Icebreaker. Like that's a big time save. Mm-hmm. But I kind of think that it's time for you. Like I think your decision making now I'm going to give you a little bit of grief here about doing climbing the mountain and then doing the big bomb.
Well, like I said, I recognize that was like, that's on me. Yeah. I'll take that one. Yeah.
Right. But I do think that from seeing some of your league races, I think you've got a lot of time to save with a little amount, not a ton, like not a many hours of work, but a little bit of work just on like dash lines. Cause I know this was standard boots. Mm-hmm. What was the starting weapon, by the way?
Sword.
Okay. So if you got a sword, it's casual boots.
Yeah.
So then like basically, and then at that point it's like, you know, you got to be on it because you got dash lines. You've got the sword out. You don't have to worry about like most enemies in some aspects. So the community as a whole has that down. We saw that with League and Dunka's got his casual boots invitational going on. The times in that, like it feels bad now for me entering GT after the 120 mark.
Yeah.
Like, which used to be like, hey, this is great. But now it just, you know, it's crazy to think that like people feel behind entering GT at like the 105 mark sometimes at this point. But I think there's some execution things that, you know, you could potentially work on during this like qualifier season and make a lot of strides.
Yeah. And it's just like, I hear everything you're saying. I know in my heart of hearts that the answer to, you know, I want to go faster is okay. Well then play more, practice more, watch more. I'm not really motivated to do that, you know? So it's like, I feel like
that's also fair.
There's also, it could just be that I'm not going to be competitive again. My enjoyment of this will be, all theoretical, watching the game and like liking the game as it is, but not really playing it. And I just can't believe that. Like I've put in so much time and watched so much, not recently, but like for to have even done that at any point, and to still for it to still not be good enough to even be a part of the conversation in a large group race like this is just like, damn, this game's too hard. Like, I know we've gone over that question before, but like, it's too hard.
Yeah, there's a lot of optimization potential. And like, as Dante said, I make the same mistakes, but you wouldn't believe the time saves you can have in a seat like that from just knowing when to dash, where to dash, how to dash. The amount of times I dash like two tiles into a door and I'm like, all right, that wasted like 5 seconds because the dash started up and then, you know, that saved me nothing. But that's all the stuff where I'm like, all right, I'm never going to learn this, whatever. That's why I play multi-world. And just to go back to what you said, Tim, I kind of get that feeling as well when I play multi-world with the friends, because when you play with doors, you have this little item counter in the top right. And even though they play with Pot Shuffle and have like 480 locations or something crazy, and I only have 200 and something, 280 or whatever, they're like, oh yeah, I'm half done with my checks. I'm at like 200 and something checks. And I'm like, all right, I'm at like 50 checks out of 280. It's just, you know, obviously they with the Pot Shuffle that they're playing, and they get to check a lot more stuff because there's a lot of places where there's a lot of pots. So you get through your checks faster. But it also just proves that people are like way better at routing and decision making and going to places that make sense and stuff than I am ever going to be. So, yeah, I personally have just settled with the fact that if I'm going to play anything, it's not going to be very good.
Yeah.
Like, here's something to think about. And this is going to sound bad coming from me, but like, you don't have to win to have fun. Yeah. Right. Like, that's the whole point of it. So if you are having fun, Temp and Herf, then go have fun. Like, if practicing is fun, I think the reason people do practice is because to them it is fun. I mean, when I was practicing a lot on Link to the Past, I was having fun doing it. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, there's some strats like NMG. I want to get better at NMG, but I do like Temp. I don't have the drive right now to care to practice those NMG specific strats to save those frames across room after room after room. So, you know, it's kind of like you have to find where your fun is, like the fun competitive balance. And then, you know that I guess like temper your expectations for yourself, and not saying expect to lose, but I'm saying, you know, just don't expect to potentially win a group race just because you made a gamble. Because I'm pretty sure someone's execution, you know, it's like, I feel like if I have to gamble to win some kind of big group race, because there's people like the Aries, the Humbugs, that are going to come track me down and just out execute me, you know?
Well, I guess that, you know, it is my expectation, which is the reason that I'm even commenting on it, because for the way I played, I felt like I should have been, and not win, like not in my wildest dreams do I think I'm going to win one of these when, you know, the likes of Humbug and, you know, Plasma and Nep are all in there. That was the top three. But certainly like middle of the pack, you know, I used to be kind of like middling at, you know, at worst. There's been a few qualifiers, not a lot, where I actually popped up in like the teens, you know, not so I, especially with like, you know, a lot of these qualifiers are like 100 people. This one was like 47 people. So I thought maybe anywhere in the 20s, you know, I would have been good with, but then 34th. And then again, the added, like, I didn't just miss one or two things. This is like a 4.5 minute difference. So I could have played way better than I played, and I still would have been 34th place. So that to me was like a bit of a, I don't know, just like, stark realization of just like, I don't know. I don't know what it was. I'd be interested to hear people in the comments if anyone else who was in this group race had any similar feelings or has done a group race recently, you know, what your takeaway was from your placement. But I feel like I should be taking something away from this. And I don't know if it's just I need to practice a lot more. It feels like I'm missing something big. I don't know. So maybe I'll go back and do some watching. I probably owe it to myself, but I also, Dandy, really like what you said about like I said, I had a fun time. I was like, I was remembering why I like this game. I wasn't doing anything too stupid. Execution was decent. I did a Dark Mire and felt good about that, you know? So I did some stuff that I have failed on worse days. So I did have fun, and I think that's all that's important. Then. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So cool. Okay. Well, that had me really excited for the, you know, live qualifiers that are going to be coming up here in April. So be looking forward to that, experience some of those and report back to you. Let's see. Spoiler pilot finals. I think we were right on the cusp of this before the last episode, but it just hadn't quite happened yet. Well, it has now, in fact, happened. And OK Dudes Gone Wild won it. That is Gamachu and Moogle Charm. I think we talked about this one. We talked about one of the co-ops when I spoke with Gamachu. I don't think it was this one, though. I think we forgot to, like, even mention this one that happened just a couple weeks ago. But Gamachu and Moogle Charm did win it. Second place went to Relkin and Nep. Did you add this note here, Dante, about the exciting series?
Yeah.
Tell us about
overall,
it.
Overall, I thought it was just a super exciting series. All three races are really close. I think Gamma and Moogle took game one. And then game two was very interesting because I think Gamma and Moogle's route was just slightly better, if I recall. But Relkin executed and was able to kind of close the gap and then pass Gamma at the very end. And that, I think that race was within 10 seconds. So then game three happened. And I think, again, there was like just slightly better route. And then there was also a mistake on, I think this is the part I'm a little unclear on. I talked to them about it and it's been like, what, 2 weeks now? So my memory may be hazy, but there was a missed sword on a tablet for a bit. And I think it was Aether tablet. So they left the mountain. And then, so they were down a sword on Gamma and Moogle like for most of that seed. Now, please don't take those words to say that if Relkin had that sword, then game three would have been a different outcome. I'm not saying that at all. But yeah, overall, like, insane series. I had a good time watching what I did of that, and very, very big nail biters. Congrats to Gamma and Moogle on like another job well done.
Awesome, good stuff. We will put the bracket in the description so you can see how everything shook out. And if another one of these happens, we'll let you know about it. Real quick mention of the 2023 German tournament. So they've been awfully efficient. Germans, they have a that's like a thing for them, right? Is being very efficient.
I mean, if you know me, you know that's not a very accurate stereotype. But in general, it's a stereotype.
I don't think you can say that.
Yeah. So they started this like the beginning of this year, I think, and maybe even more recently than that. But the finals are actually this week. That was the main reason I wanted to talk about it. Usually we'd wait until it's over to report the winner. But as it turns out, if you're listening to this on the day it comes out, Wednesday, March 29th at 2 p.m. Eastern time is going to be the first race of finals. That's Schulzer versus Tedo. And that is going to be an MC shuffle with a 10 bomb start. And then game two is going to be the following day, Thursday, March 30th. Also a 2 p.m. Eastern start. Key sanity, hard item pool. No word yet on a game three if it happens, but I imagine it'll probably be pretty shortly after. So, of course, that will be in German, that broadcast. So I don't know if there's going to be a simulcast in English, if they are even interested in getting that put together. I know that that kind of thing has happened in the past, so it's possible, but probably more than likely, you know, it will just be in the, you know, native language of the tournament. But the racing's the same. You know what that looks like. So if you're looking for a nice high profile race on Wednesday or Thursday in the afternoon, I'd recommend either one of those. And good luck to both of them as well. Is there anything else? I think we got through it all.
Yeah, I think so.
We're done. All right. GMP community updates. So obviously we talked to Gamma earlier about the glitched mentor tournament. That is complete. I also read out our gold, silver, and bronze for each bracket, so you know that. But just to kind of put a final cap on it, thanks to everyone who participated, racers and mentors, admin and mod team did a stellar job. And you know, whenever Malmo wants to put together another one of these, we'll be on standby to do what we can to support her. So yeah, so congrats to everyone who participated there. Then we have our bi-weekly seed. We had the Ganon hunt last time, and then this time we actually had a request for a new mode. Do you want to tell us about that, Dandy?
Sure. So Structural Mike reached out and he's got a new mode he's been cooking. Playing, I've seen him play it with a few folks, and it's called Shadow Rush. And I figured, you know what? we've always sat here unless we had something and we were like, ah, I guess we'll do an open. I guess we'll do a casual boot. So I said, hey, can we guys, can we do this? And you guys didn't put up too much of a fight.
No objections whatsoever.
So we're going to play this new mode called Shadow Rush by Structural Mike. And basically, here's the premise. And you need to pay attention to this because this is very important. Mm-hmm. It is inverted, first off. It is a Triforce hunt. There are you need 6 out of a 10 total pieces. There's one on each boss. The Moon Pearl does not exist. That is the most important part of this. The Moon Pearl does not exist.
So you're not going to go to the Light World at all?
No, you will. Okay. You definitely will.
Okay.
There are checks that could be available to you logically, like the tablets, or at least Bombo's tablet.
So like
or
some Super Bunny vendor. Stuff.
Also, to complete the game, you have to be in Light World because that's where Mur-Hala-Dala, or whatever his name is. I butchered that. He's up there by the castle, so you'd have to, you know, talk to him as a bunny.
I see.
But yeah, so there, you know, you could walk all the way to Eastern Palace if you can tank through some hits and then bunny revive in there and beat that dungeon if you want to, because there's a Triforce piece. Like, that's probably not logical, but it's, you know, it's possible. Now, here's the other caveats. It's beatable only. That means you may not get every item in the game, but you're going to get everything you need to complete the game. When you find the flute, it is activated when you find it. Now, that's part of the Moon Pearl process. So if you pick up a flute and you're in Dark World, you can instantly toot on that thing and get out to wherever you're going, long as you are in the overworld. Another caveat here, it is key sanity. So all your keys are going to be shuffled. I don't think you're going to care too much about pendants, except maybe for like a pedestal pull as a bunny or say, you know, a green pendant turn in as a bunny. But other than that, you're going to be only considering just I need to beat dungeons because that's where the Triforce pieces are. All the pendants, it says all pendants and the 5-6 crystals are guaranteed to be in Dark World, except Swamp Palace. So anything except Swamp can be Pendant and Dark World. That's going to potentially get you your pet in logic and your Pyramid Fairy in logic, too, if you have the mirror.
Do we know why it's Sand Swamp?
Because you technically would have to initiate Super Bunny to
play with the game. Yeah, to get into it. Right, okay.
But that also means we have 3 pendants and 5 and 6, and it can't be Swamp. So that's basically all the Dark World palaces that are left, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much. But there are there are ways around these things, you know, like you could get into, I think you can get into desert with the book, you know, as a bunny, but then that's not really logical. Mm-hmm. You'd have to die and bunny revive, and you'd have to do it multiple times when you get to the back too. So that would kind of be a pain in the butt.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm. The Ganon's Tower entrance, which is in Light World, is 0 crystals to open it, but it is not in logic ever at all. So you don't have to worry about bunny reviving for Ganon's Tower. Mm-hmm. You're going to start with boots. You're going to start with a sword, an empty bottle, and Temp, you might like this, 6 hearts, not 3.
Let's go.
Since it's inverted.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
That's awesome. You're going to start with all compasses and maps, and that way you know your item counts when you're in dungeons, and you're going to know what all the dungeon prizes are, like those pendants and crystals. So
that's nice.
There you go. Nice, and we'll make sure to include that in the post in Discord when you download the seed. There's a lot to that. So just to hit it real quick, inverted, it's a Triforce hunt. 6 out of 10 pieces is the goal. Moon Pearl doesn't exist. It's beatable only logic. Flute activated on pickup. Full key sanity. All pendants and 5-6 crystals are guaranteed in Dark World except Swamp. GT entrance is 0 crystals, but not in logic, so don't waste your time. Starting boots, sword, an empty bottle, and 6 hearts. And then all compasses and maps in your inventory when you start. Good luck. I'm actually going to play this because I haven't played one of these yet, and I've been saying I would do it for a while. So if I don't play this next week, I'm fired.
So all of these rules serve to curate an experience. So if we were to try to sum up, you know, why this mode exists, why Structural Mike made all of these stipulations for this particular mode. The idea is that you stay in Dark World primarily, although as we've covered, you could, you know, Super Bunny and stuff like that. But it's to keep you in Dark World and let you only focus on clearing the dungeons there, not, you know, pendants or crystals or whatever, but just clearing dungeons in the Dark World. That's kind of the what is being encouraged here. That's what all of these rules serve to do. So I think if you just keep that in mind, obviously you want to know these rules. You want to know your flute's available as soon as you pick it up. You want to know that you're not going to find a moon pearl, all this stuff. But just knowing that, like, the goal is to just beat Dark World dungeons as fast as possible to beat the game, I think is kind of where your head should be. And it is. Yeah, it's really interesting. I'd like to try it.
The other thing you're going to have to remember, if I know this correctly, you're going to need to find those castle tower smalls because you're going to need to beat Aga to get to the pyramid, not the pyramid, but the top of the Hyrule Castle to talk to Mirhal Adala, because that's the only way I can think of as a bunny to get there.
Oh, huh. Interesting. So
Castle Tower is going to come into play in this mode too.
Okay. So you got to find those two keys. Yeah. The key sanity thing, I think, is the only thing that would really mess me up in terms of thinking I could go somewhere, but I actually can't. Everything else makes sense. The thing that's hard about inverted is the traveling between worlds. So this being inverted, but mostly just kind of making you stick in Dark World is appealing to me for sure. So I like that.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. All right. Well, yeah, we will generate one for you. That will be the biweekly seed 122. Good stuff. And I think we're ready to wrap it up. So we got an email. We got an email for the first time in
a long while.
Months. Yep. Yeah, in quite a long time. And it's a real short one, but very much appreciated. It's from Amphibious T-Rex, who has written us in the past. It says, "Hey guys, I loved the first spoiler log episode. Great job, Dante. I can't wait to hear more. I miss 216 Pod and hope it comes back." So again, that was Amphibious T-Rex. And I thought this was also a great opportunity for us to formally mention Spoiler Log, which was a bonus episode that we put out exactly 1 week ago in between GMP main episodes. And if you haven't listened to it, highly recommend it. Dante sat down with my league teammate, Tyler Salt, and interviewed him, yes, about rando stuff, but also about a bunch of other stuff. And if you know Tyler Salt at all, or even if you don't, it's a very fun listen. And I very much enjoyed listening to it and lightly QAing it. But Dante really did all of the editing and recording and all that work. So great job, Dante. Loved it. And we do have at least a few more in the pipeline. Yeah.
Yeah. Two more is what I've committed myself to. I told Temp was nice enough to let me interject these in the off weeks for those three. Temp kind of has the keys to the kingdom, so he's the one posting them. I'm going to try and edit these as quickly as I can. And to his standards, he's a slave driver, let me tell you.
Oh, I mean, he sent me that first draft and I was like, Dante, what are we going to do with you, bud?
Unusable. That's all he said.
Yeah, I deleted the file. I got on a screen share with him and I made him watch me delete the file.
That was true.
Yeah.
I cried.
I mean, you couldn't really tell. Honestly, I felt like you did a good job hiding it, but yeah, I could tell you were crying a little. So,
but yeah, I've had fun doing, I've recorded the second one. And I've had a lot of fun doing it. I've been thankful for like the, I guess, positive like response so far. You know, we've only had one, so it's hard to get like a, hey, I'm doing a good job, like on one, but the guests are really what I think make it successful, just because, like, you know, if I get up there and talk to a rock, I don't think the rock is not the actual rock, like the actor, but like a physical Dwayne the Rock
Johnson.
Yeah. But I don't think that would be very entertaining. But yeah, like learning people's stories, I think is great. And like I said there, I hope we get more 216. I think, you know, I think it was a great concept. I think it's awesome. So, you know, I like learning about people. So this has been fun. I'm glad, thank you, Amphibious Trex. Like I do appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to tell tales out of school, but I have a feeling we might be getting at least some 216 pod in the future.
Yeah, after a ping on that Discord was a good sign. I greatly appreciated the plug from Fear there. Glad to see him still around and talking and stuff. So hopefully we get more. I think it'll be good to potentially have like two different faces doing these, just because there's so many people in the community now. Mm-hmm. So I don't think unless someone was getting paid that they have the time or the capacity to interview like everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the interviewing's easy. It's the editing and the posting that's hard. So as long as we're here to do it, I feel like we can definitely put out some more apps. So. Cool. All right. Look out for some more of those in the future. And again, great job, Dante. And thank you, Amphibious T-Rex, for the email. If you want to send us an email, you can do so by directing it towards gomodepodcast@gmail.com. You can try email at gomodepodcast.com, too. I think it probably would work, but maybe not. So just to be safe, maybe don't. We have a Patreon. If you want to support the show, you can do so. Check the link in the description. Huge shout outs to those of you who do support the show. We greatly appreciate that. We're on YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, all those places, YouTube. So check us out there. Let's do some shout outs, boys. Do you guys have anything queued up?
Sure. Go ahead. As I was alluding to earlier, my new PC is giving me new gaming pleasure, which currently is fully concentrated on the Resident Evil 4 remake that recently came out. And it's amazing. I love it. It deserves all the great ratings that it has. My only gripe with it is they changed. I don't know, have either of you played Resident Evil 4?
Yeah, it's been a long time, but
You remember Zelazar, the little tiny dude with the purple dress and the big nose, kind of goblin looking dude with like a shrieky voice, and he's like almost comical as a villain.
Yeah.
No, honestly, hang on. I don't remember that.
I'll find you live on air.
It's been so long.
I'll find you a screenshot of Zelazar from Resident Evil 4.
All right.
It's this guy. Hang on.
I thought you were talking about the shopkeeper as you were saying all that. That's like definitely the most memorable thing about definitely. Resident Evil 4 for me.
But I'm talking about this guy.
Oh,
you remember him, right?
Yeah.
And now, here. Sorry for all our listeners. This is going to be awful, but maybe we can include this.
Just Google it, you know, you'll figure
changed.
It out.
Whoa. Yeah, right? He looks great still, but I'm very sad he's not still a, like, tiny little goblin man with a funny voice who gets really mad at Leon besting him at every opportunity. He's just like a very serious kind of monologuing villain now, sort of, I guess.
And he looks a little bit like my Aunt Pam.
Oh my God.
Okay. Like, it's so weird. It's more realistic and like all the more upsetting for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and like that's aged, the age difference between original and this new one is a good 40 years or so is kind of what it
something
looks like
that. Yeah. I mean, they're all like weird mutant abominations or whatever, so sure. Who knows, right? But I'm just a little sad. They made it a little more serious, which is fine, and it fits very well with the whole style of the remake. But I'm a little sad it lost some of the like over the top ridiculousness that 4 had going. Like, there's this weird little kind of codec phone call, whatever you want to call it, between Leon and that Zelazar guy. And Zelazar said in the original, Zelazar says, "I've sent my right hand after you." And Leon goes, "Oh, your right hand comes off?" And it's such a stupid, dumb line that's like so dumb, but I'm really sad they removed stuff.
They skipped
like
that. Oh, man, what the heck?
So that's my unfortunate. But other than that, it's really fun, really great. It plays well, it looks amazing. They did a really good job with it.
Nice. Awesome. Dante, do you want to go or do you want me to go?
I'll go. Okay. I want to shout out your Aunt Pam for apparently looking
she's
great. Like
I do love her. She's awesome. It's my wife's aunt. So.
Gotcha. She's great. No, I'm kidding. I'm glad you took that well. Shout outs to Grand Theft Auto 5. I started playing that again. Oh my God, Herf posted another photo in that one. That's something.
Okay.
I've been playing Grand Theft Auto 5 again, and mainly just for the online. I'm always a sucker for the racing modes on that. Like, I thought they were really fun. They just take forever to queue up. And so I re-downloaded a 100-gigabyte game on my computer just to do some races, and we'll see how long that lasts and how long I keep doing it, but it's been fun doing those a little bit. That's basically it.
Nice. Do you have a favorite radio station?
No, I mute it because I was at the top. It's been muted forever because I used to stream this like a long time ago.
Yeah. No, I love the music in that game. A lot of it got made its way to a bunch of my Spotify playlists and has just been sitting there, you know, the 10 years since that game came out. So some of the music has lasted a lot longer than the memories of playing that game even. And it's a good game. It's super fun. So for my shout out, I'm going to shout out the show Succession. And I know I always feel like such a basic B whenever I shout out, you know, the biggest HBO show that's currently airing right now, which is what I'm doing. But it seriously is a great show. The fourth season just came back last night, and it was such a good season opener. Like, they did such a good job. Sometimes when a show goes on and on and on, like, it loses that magic. And they kind of did that a little bit in season three, but this first episode of season four was like, it felt like the first time watching the show, and it, like, all the dynamics were back, and big moves were happening. It's just a really fun show. I really enjoy it. I actually held out on watching it for the first like two seasons. I heard people talk about it and I was like, that sounds like not my cup of tea. But then I just heard so many people recommending it. I was like, well, all right, I'll at least check out the first episode. And I did. And my wife and I both absolutely love it now and quote it constantly around the house and stuff. So Succession, highly, highly recommend checking that out. Okay, well, that's it. We did it. And I think this is a slightly long episode, factoring in the interview with Gamma. So hope you've enjoyed this mega-sized ep. And with that, we'll go ahead and get out of your hair. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks, maybe one. And for now, let's go ahead and mirror out.